Good morning. It is good to be here this morning, visiting with you all, and appreciate the opportunity that Rodney and Todd have given me to come and speak for you all. I've been looking forward to it this week, and hopefully we can all be edified by our worship this morning, and most of all that God is glorified by our worship. I appreciate the kind words that have been said already about people being excited that we're here. I know that the reason you're excited is because Grayson is here, but I appreciate the kind words nonetheless. Looking forward to speaking for you all, and it's already been a very good Lord's Day just by what we've been doing so far this morning. And what could you accomplish in 6 days? If I give you 6 days to accomplish something, what could you get done? Maybe you could finish a book. I know for me, it would take me like 6 months to finish a book. But maybe you could finish a book in 6 days. Maybe you could complete a home improvement project, if you had some time to work on it. 6 days is usually about the time that we spend on vacation. You could take a vacation in 6 days. In 6 days, those are some pretty big things that we would need to take 6 days to get accomplished. And if you look around us, no matter where you go in this world, 6 days is all it took for God to create all of this. And not just all of this, but everything that is here and everything that is beyond us as well. It took 6 days, only 6 days, for God to create all of that. There is no doubt that our God is awesome. We know this. We wouldn't be here this morning if we didn't accept the fact, we didn't realize the fact that our God is truly awesome. But I think sometimes, if you're anything like me, we get caught up in the everyday struggles and stresses. Rodney mentioned at the start of services how stressful and how busy it's been for him at work. It's been stressful and busy in my life as well for the past few weeks. And I guarantee for most of us, it's the same way. And it's very easy to lose sight and to just forget every day of just how awesome our God truly is. And so this morning, I want us to, kind of focus a little bit on just how awesome God is. And I want to also say at this point, I cannot and I am not going to try to do justice to how awesome God is. There is no way that I can possibly do that. But hopefully, in some of the things we talk about, some of the illustrations that we go through, we can just remind ourselves. The things that we see every day, the things that we go through every day, we can remind ourselves just how awesome our God truly is. This lesson, I actually taught at Greenwood, where we attend Greenwood's Vacation Bible School. And our theme for this past summer's Vacation Bible School was My God is So Big. And we went through the days of that song, My God is So Big, So Strong, and So Mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. And I taught the high school class. And this was, and some of the things that we went through, the things that I went through in the high school class. And if there was any of the lessons that have stuck with me, it's this one. It's the fact that God is the creator of the world and how much that he has done. And I almost every day I've thought about something from that lesson. And so I figured, why not make it a sermon? Because hopefully it can be beneficial to everyone. Because it's been very beneficial to me just to remind myself every day of how truly awesome our God is. And so first of all, I want us to focus on the fact that God is the creator of the universe. And we're not going to go through and read all of Genesis 1, but if you want to turn to Genesis 1, and as we go through each day, and I'll be talking about some of the verses here and there in Genesis chapter 1, just kind of go through the account of creation. An account that even maybe the 1 and 2 year olds here this morning know, God created the heavens and the earth. They know maybe some of the days of creation. Something that I would say is maybe the most elementary principle of our biblical knowledge, but something that is always beneficial to go back because there's something new that we can think of and look at every time we look at the account of creation. And so in day one, first of all, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created this earth but he created everything beyond us as well. Let's not lose sight of that, because we're going to come back to that here in a few minutes and talk about that as well. But then God said, let there be light. And when God spoke it, it happened. But you know, one thing that I had never really thought about until I was studying this summer was the fact that God created light, but you know what hadn't been created yet? The sun, the moon, and the stars. What gives us light? We don't know light without the sun, the moon, and the stars. And yet on day one, God created light, and those things haven't been created yet. I don't think we can really fathom what the light looked like, where was it coming from, anything like that. But there was light on the earth. There was light after day one with his voice. We don't know how it happened. We don't know what it even looked like. But day one, God created light simply by speaking it into existence. Day two, verses 6-8, we see the account of God separating the skies from the earth. No, so what we know, we have the sky, we have the earth that we walk on. That's what happened on day two. God had to separate that. And one thing that came to my mind thinking about the separation of the skies from the earth is recently this past summer, we flew to Colorado to visit some family. And whenever we were above the clouds, I just remember thinking of how it's literally water vapor suspended in air just there. And God made sure that that happened. He made sure that that process of having clouds in the sky suspended in the atmosphere, that has gone on since day two of creation when he separated the skies from the earth. You know, it's amazing to think about. God saw the need to separate the water in the heavens from the water on the earth, and he did it in one day. In day three, God separated the dry land from the seas, and he also created the plants. He created vegetation on the earth. Once again, with his voice, God said, let dry land appear, and dry land appeared. Now remember that, the fact that he's speaking things into existence, because I'm going to touch on that a little bit here in a few minutes as well. He said, let the dry land be separated from the waters, what we see today, what we live on every day. And it happened on day three. But verse 12, I think, is very interesting, because it pops up a couple of times in throughout Genesis chapter 1. Verse 12, God made sure that the plants reproduced after their own kind. What that means is that an apple tree produces apples. You know, a grapevine produces grapes. But this is something that is intentional. It's something that is not an accident. It's something that God did on purpose. And the fact that things are producing after their own kind, it can only be done and accomplished by a creator. A creator who has that intention for things to produce after their own kind. In other words, that did not happen by accident. And things produce after their own kind. They produce after their own kind on day three. And they reproduce after their own kind even today in 2023 as well. And then we get to day four. Day four, when God created light as we know it, the sun, the moon, and the stars. But what I really want to point out from day four is the reason God gave for creating the sun and the moon and the stars. He created it for signs and seasons, for days and years. For signs and season, for days and years. And you know, I started thinking about that. A phrase that I had never really thought of. Signs and seasons. The light, the sun, the moon, the stars, the light is kind of the reason why farmers, now they probably have a lot more technology to know, but in that time, that's the reason why they knew when to plant their crops. The light was the reason they knew when it was time to harvest, because of the seasons. Think about, what do we associate summer with? Longer days, right? Warmer temperature, but longer days, because the sun shines longer in summer. In winter, that season we associate it with shorter days because it gets darker. The moon comes out earlier. God had that intention in mind on day four when he created the sun and the moon. He created it for days and years as well. Think about how we measure a day. A full day is whenever we are a rotation, and we have a morning, a day, and a night. That's the sun and the moon. And then for a year is a one revolution around the sun, which God created on day four. You see, signs and seasons, days and years, that's the reason why we still have the sun, the moon, and the stars today. Day four, that's what God set in place so that even in 2023, we could use these three things for the same reason, the same purpose that God created them. You know, the light, sun and moon and stars, it's something that works in perfect harmony. And it's something that we take for granted because it has been in existence working in perfect harmony our entire lives, our entire existence. It's something we don't often think about, but the light is something that declares God's greatness every single day. It works in perfect harmony. No matter what we do on earth, the light will always declare the greatness of God. Day four, God created the sun, the moon, and the stars for signs and seasons, for days and years, and we still use the sun and moon and stars for those reasons today. Day five, we see that God created birds and fish. And so, you know, it's something that is amazing. Think about how many birds and fish there are in this world. There are almost 11,000 different species of birds on earth. This is just the species that have been discovered. We know there are probably many, many more species of birds that have not been discovered yet. There are over 33,000 species of fish in the world. And God created all of them in one day. In one day, God created the birds and the fish. And then we get to day six. When God created the land animals, and who knows how many different species of land animals there are, but really what's the important part of day six? The pinnacle of creation, he created man. On day six, God created man, who is who Jesus came and died for. Man is who all of this was created for because he set us in dominion over the things on the earth. God created man with a soul because he wants us to live forever with him. And God saw that it was good on days one through five. But day six, after God created us, man, he saw that it was very good. Day six was truly the pinnacle of creation. And what is really amazing, if we look in chapter 2 and verse 7, we see God created man literally from the dust of the ground. It says he formed man from the dust of the ground. There's not many things we can form from the dust of the ground, from the dirt. But God made man simply from the dirt. I don't know how he did it, but I hope we can all be truly amazed that that is how he did. That is what he did. But I want to go back to what I mentioned after day three. God made sure that everything produced after its own kind, because it's mentioned again there in day six at the end of chapter one. So once again, a dog can only reproduce a dog. An apple tree can only reproduce apples. Humans can only reproduce humans. It's a process that began on the first days of this earth that is continued in perfect harmony. No matter how many advances science has, technology has, no matter what man wants to try and do, you know what will never change is that things can only reproduce after their own kind. God made sure that that would happen. And no matter how complex we try to make things, this will always stay the same. God created this world, this universe, in 6 days. And you know, if you go home today, get in your car, maybe try and exercise, I just want you to say to your car, turn on. I don't even think Teslas will do that. We can't speak to them and they just turn on. You get to your house, try to unlock your door with your voice. It's not going to happen. Even, I'm a teacher, okay? even most of the stuff that I say to other humans, they're not actually going to do. Okay, I see that every day in school. And yet, God spoke the world, the universe, into existence. We are pretty limited when it comes to our voice. God has no limits. Even when it comes to simply saying for something to be created, that is created. That shows the power, that shows the authority that our God truly has. And so one passage that I want us to turn to that I think does a great job of explaining and illustrating how awesome God is in Isaiah chapter 40. So turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40. We're going to read a good portion of this chapter because the prophet does a great job of describing just how awesome God is in many different ways. And a lot of it goes back to creation. A lot of it goes back to the authority, the dominion he has over what he created, and just how big and strong and mighty and powerful he truly is. So in Isaiah 40, we're going to start in verse 12. Isaiah 40, starting in verse 12. It says, "Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and marked off the heavens by the span, and calculated the dust of the earth by the measure, and weighed the mountains in a balance, and the hills in a pair of scales? Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has informed him? And with whom did he consult, and who gave him understanding? And who taught him in the path of justice, and taught him knowledge, and informed him of the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket, and are regarded as a speck of dust on the scales. Behold, he lifts up the islands like fine dust. Even Lebanon is not enough to burn, nor its beast enough for a burnt offering. All the nations are as nothing before him. They are regarded by him as less than nothing and meaningless. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare with him? As for the idol, a craftsman cast it. A goldsmith plates it with gold, and a silversmith fashions chains of silver. He who is too impoverished for such an offering selects a tree that does not rot. He seeks out for himself a skillful craftsman to prepare an idol that will not totter. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been declared to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He it is who reduces rulers to nothing, who makes the judges of the earth meaningless. Scarcely have they been planted. Scarcely have they been sown. Scarcely has their stock taken root in the earth. But he merely blows on them, and they wither. And the storm carries them away like stubble. To whom then will you liken me, that I would be his equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and see who has created these stars. The one who leads forth their host by number, he calls them all by name. Because of the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one of them is missing." God is so big that he can measure the waters of the earth in his hand. He is so big that he measures the heavens by the span of his hand. He calculates the dust with a measure. He weighs the mountains and the hills with a scale. And to God, the nations are viewed as a drop in a bucket, and we are like grasshoppers. Our God is so mighty that he can lift the islands like fine dust. He regards the strong nations as nothing when compared to him. He reduces rulers of the earth to nothing, and he keeps all of the stars in the sky so that not one of them is missing. Our God is so holy that even the great cedars of Lebanon, all the wood that was in that wilderness, cannot produce enough wood to offer him a worthy sacrifice. God is holy because he judges far more righteously than any judge of this earth. God is so great that no one can ever and will ever give him instruction or guidance. He sits above the earth as ruler of everyone, and he keeps the universe going. The song that we teach our little children is so true, no matter how old we are. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty, there's nothing he cannot do. And I think Isaiah illustrates that and explains that in chapter 40. But, you know, one thing that I would also like to do is to illustrate just how big and mighty our God is as well. And sometimes a visual helps a little bit. So, going to be a lot of numbers thrown your way. They're going to be on the board as well. Hopefully we can all, you know, stick with me. But what I wanted to do was to somehow show just how big the universe is, to show that how big God is, how mighty he is, that he created it in 6 days. And so what I had to do for many of these things is I had to say that 1 inch, so I've got a tape measure here, 1 inch is going to represent 400 miles. This is 1 inch right here, okay? Let's pretend that's 400 miles for our scale. That's the easiest way to remember it. We're not going to deal with kilometers because that just confuses everybody, okay? 1 inch is 400 miles. If we use this scale, the depth of the Grand Canyon is 1/1000th of an inch on this scale. 1/1000th of an inch on this scale. You've been to the Grand Canyon, you see how massive it truly is. Okay? We continue going. The height of Mount Everest, the tallest peak in the world, is 1/100th of an inch when put to this scale. Okay, so don't forget these things because I know it seems a little meaningless right now. We're going to come back to it as we move through this. The deepest part of the Pacific Ocean, about the same, 1/100th of an inch, when we put it on a scale that 1 inch is 400 miles. Now we'll start to get a little bit bigger. The distance between San Francisco and New York City, 6.5 inches. All right, so get this in your mind. On this scale, this is the difference across our country, okay, from San Francisco to New York City. We'll continue going, okay? 19 and about 20 inches, so 20 inches, the diameter of the earth. If you were to cut the earth right in half, measure from one point to the next, this is how big the earth would be when we're talking about a diameter. Okay, so that's what we're dealing with, the scale that we're dealing with, okay? Then we continue moving on. So for these next two, my parents are here, and if there was one thing that we could not do during worship service with them, and that was look back. So I know for many of you that's a no-no. You're going to have to look back at me for this part, okay? So the diameter of Jupiter. Jupiter is the biggest planet in the solar system, in our solar system. If we start from right here, okay, and we move back, where I'm standing, that's about 18.5 feet, right? That's the diameter of the biggest planet in our solar system on the scale that we're talking about. And then if we say the distance between the Earth and the Moon, I'm going to keep going back, but 50 feet actually takes me almost to the back doors back here. So we're saying that's the distance between the Earth and the Moon on our scale. So think about, basically, the distance of this building is the distance between the Earth and the Moon on our scale. We're going to keep going. We continue. The diameter of the Sun. Okay, so you cut the Sun in half, measure from one point to the next, one end to the next, 181 feet on our scale. Okay, remember, 1 inch is 400 miles. The diameter of the Sun is 2,185 inches. Continue going on. The distance between the Earth and the Sun on our scale, 1 inch is 400 miles, is 3.74 miles. That is if you were to go from the building to Danville High School. That's the distance from the Earth. So let's say we're the Earth, the high school is the Sun. On our scale, that's what we're talking about, this distance. That distance, that scale, if we were to go to the next star other than the Sun, the next star other than the Sun, the distance would be if we were to go from Earth to the Moon and back, and then do it again. That's scaled down. If the distance from the Earth to the Sun is here to the high school, the distance to the next closest star to Earth would be from the Earth to the Moon and back twice. If from here to the high school is the distance between the Earth and the Sun, the distance, the size of the Milky Way galaxy would be 24.6 million miles. And that's on the scale that we're talking about. To give a context, from Earth to Venus is 29 million miles. And we had to scale it down to where 1 inch represents 400 miles. And these last 2 points, we can't even fathom how long of a distance that is. And that's on a scale. If we think about it without a scale, we still can't fathom the distance when it's scaled down from 1 inch is 400 miles. And God created all of this in 6 days by speaking it into existence. There is no doubt about it that our God is truly awesome. Our God is awesome because he created this entire universe in just 6 days. And as amazing as that is, as what he has done and what he has created, in my opinion, what makes God the most amazing and the most awesome is that he cares for us. The creator of this universe, we just talked about how big and powerful and strong and mighty he is, but God cares for you. God knows who you are. That might be what makes God truly amazing and truly awesome. Just a few ways that we know that we can be reminded that God cares for us. He knew us before we were even formed. He knew us. He created us. Jeremiah 1 and verse 5, God tells the prophet Jeremiah, "Before you were even in the womb, I knew you." And we see in Psalm 139, the verses 13 and 14 that are so often read and given whenever a baby is born. "For you formed my inward parts, you wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well." God, the creator of the universe, uniquely created each and every one of us. Truly amazing. The scripture that was read for us, hopefully we all caught it. God knows us. He said, you know, "I take care of the sparrows," but you know what? God knows how many hairs are on our head. Jesus tells us that in Luke chapter 12 and verse 7. God knows us. He knows us so well that he knows how many hairs are on our head. God, moving on, God wants us to be holy. The creator of this universe is, well, in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, we are promised that God will provide a way of escape for every temptation. Why is that? Because God doesn't want us to sin. God wants us to be holy, and so he's going to provide a way for us to escape temptation. God wants us to be holy, and we know that because John 3:16 tells us God sent his only son to die for us. The one that created all of this. We just looked at an illustration that shows how big and powerful and mighty God is. He loves us so much that he sent his only son to suffer, to be tortured and humiliated, to ultimately die on the cross for us. That's how much God loves us. In Philippians 4 and verse 6, we're told to pray when we become anxious. In James chapter 5 and verse 16, it says the effective prayer of a righteous man avails much. Why do we know that? Because God listens to us. The creator of this universe, who makes sure that all of the stars are in place and not one of them is missing, he will always listen to us when we pray to him. And ultimately, God cares for us because he wants to live with you and me forever, for all eternity. The one who created all of this, the one who has been in existence forever, the one who has done all of these things, these great and mighty things, who sits above the earth ruling, creator of the universe, he wants to live with you and me forever. That's how awesome our God truly is. We see it all the time. When people get famous, when they get wealthy, they forget about the common man, right? The people that helped them get to where they were, they're forgotten about because this person is too busy or too wealthy or too arrogant and proud to think about the common man. Or whenever we get busy, whenever we start to add responsibilities in our lives, we forget to call our parents or our children. We forget to do little things about with the people who mean so much to us because life is just so busy around us. God is literally making sure the universe is working in perfect harmony. And yet he is never and will never be too busy for you. He knows how many hairs are on your head. He listens to you at any moment that you go to him in prayer. He's listening to you. God will never be too busy for us. He has never been too busy for us. He truly loves us. He truly cares for us. And he knows us better than even we know ourselves. That's how amazing God is. Yes, God is awesome because he is our all-powerful. He is all-knowing. He is ever-present. He is the creator of and the ruler of this universe. But I hope we all are truly amazed by the fact that, and we declare how awesome God is by the fact that he loves us, that he cares for us, that he provides for us, and that he wants to live with us. That makes God truly awesome. And so next time that we look at the wonders of creation, may we never forget that God is the one who created it. God is the one who has set it in order, who makes sure everything continues to work in perfect harmony. God is the one who created us as well. We know that God is awesome and mighty, but let's find little ways every day to remind ourselves of how truly amazing and awesome and powerful he is. I want to finish with Isaiah. Go back to Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 through 31. I think it's a great passage to wrap this lesson up with. Isaiah 40, verse 28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. Let us never forget how awesome our God is, and then may we go to him to gain strength. Go to him when we need something. Go to him when we don't need something. And we just need to make sure that we remember how truly awesome God is. Because the strength that he has, the all-powerful, almighty, all-knowing creator of the universe, he will help us. We see that in verse 31. You know, the stresses that we go through in life, God is the one who can get us through them, who can give us the strength to get through these. And so, how do we wrap this up? Acknowledge the fact that God is awesome. As the creator of the universe, there is no one that even comes close to being as powerful and mighty and knowledgeable and wise as he is. But then, let's also never forget that he cares for us. He wants us to be holy. He wants us to be in heaven for all eternity. And so may we follow his laws. May we follow his commands. May we go to him for strength. May we talk to him because we know he's going to listen to us. He's going to provide for us. And so as we finish out this lesson this morning, if you haven't become a child of his, think about the amazing things that we've just talked about. Who wouldn't want to be a child of God? When we think about how awesome, how loving, and how caring he is. We would love for you to become his child today so that you can gain that strength. You can gain what he has to offer that we just looked at in Isaiah chapter 40. Maybe you have been struggling. Maybe you have been worn down and weary. Go to him. Gain strength from him throughout this week, throughout this month, throughout the rest of your life. May we never forget that our God is awesome. Because he created the universe, because he loves us, because he cares for us. If you need to respond to his invitation, we ask that you come forward now as we stand and sing.